The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the band, see the broken day, the bad, I'm over the bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad, take bad, lie, bad, do bad, breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river through the woods from where Granny just went to bed. But before she did, she hit up some of that sunshine OG. And she said, mind your own business, sonny boy, if I'm smoking sativa this late at night. And I said, you got it, Granny. And she said, mind your own business. In New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, it's a ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends are coming off, lots of flies, a party up, rats on the west side, the dogs uptown, but a mess is town to town, and my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should it be dragged out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. The number's toll free to get on, 844-843-6879. I don't know. I doubt you're watching it because I know you're watching hockey, Carver High. So am I. And both of those games are great. There's no doubt about it. I think the Nashville game's 2-2. And the other one's 3-2. Caps took the lead in the third. I think it was Hathaway's second goal. I've watched both games. And at the same time, you know what I'm watching. And this game has been fantastic, this soccer game between Indiana and Marshall for the national championship. Now, I don't know if you saw the first game, but the Santa Clara women in penalty kicks beat Florida State for the national championship. That was a great game. This is a great game. Scoreless right before the half. They're about to go to halftime in about 15 seconds. And Indiana's had a couple of scoring chances. Marshall's had several. Marshall has controlled the ball for most of the half. I mean, they are a good team. I mean, they have had nothing but control and passes and chances and attempts. But Indiana's got this hot shot goalie who they say is like the biggest name in goaltending in college soccer. And he's some hotshot new goalie that you know, splashed onto the scene this year and took Indiana all to the finals all the way. So here they are, and it's scoreless in this title game in Cary, North Carolina. Have you watched any of that game, Carver? Because it's been fantastic. It's like literally as good as it gets.
I have not. I have not been. In fact, I know that we mentioned it on Coast to Coast today. I forgot it was even happening until you just brought it back up.
Fail by you.
So, it is a fail. It is a fail. But like you said, once the playoff hockey starts, a lot of things get dialed out.
Well, the second half, is there's still an opportunity for you to get in. That you could still get in on this in-game. You can still watch the second half because that Capital game's about to end, and then the Avalanche game will be in like the first period, second period tops by the time this thing's over, and it is scoreless at the half.
I will get over to it after the Capital game. I will get over to it.
Fantastic game. I mean, gripping. I mean, the saves. But like Indiana's had like three scoring chances. They hit two posts. And then the kid, the goalie made two incredible saves for Indiana. So it's really 2-2 in terms of shots on goal. We welcome in our radio affiliates. SiriusXM channel 204, our new satellite home. Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? And of course, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a Bench on Sports Grid Radio with Carver High joining me. He's turned on me. I told him today that Indiana was playing Marshall for the national championship. Indiana seeking their ninth NCAA title in soccer. And 10 is the all-time mark. And St. Louis has 10. The Billikens, of all people. But Indiana trying to get to 9. And it's a great game. But I got to tell you, I'm just being honest. Indiana's hit two posts. But Marshall's chances have been numerous. They've had two big saves by the Indiana goalie. Incredible saves, like fingertip saves. And they've had the best shots, the best chances, the best opportunities, the best ball control. Like, I'm pleasantly surprised. Marshall going after their first NCAA championship, and they've played really well. It seems to me like they've pretty much dominated the possession and passing. But Indiana's had a couple of great chances. So we'll see what happens in the second half and see if Todd Yeagley can get the Hoosiers into the goal. That's the key. Whoever scores might win this thing one zip. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some more goals in the second half. None in the first, scoreless. And then as far as the hockey goes, still Capitals 3-2 with 4.5 minutes left. And a Predators Canes are 2-2 after two periods in Raleigh at the home of the Canes. They got around 13,000 fans at that arena, and that's all you need to make it sound like, Carver High, a complete sellout. That's a rowdy crowd tonight in Raleigh.
Yeah, when it came on the TV, you would have thought it was a full house. I mean, they were going crazy down there. A little bit of normalcy, a full hockey arena for the playoffs.
I got to tell you, I am stunned that I'm completely stunned that the Bruins haven't been able to score on this guy, Anderson. It makes me sick to my stomach. Stuff in the mailbox. It was loose in front. Carver High, you saw it. It was loose like a hooker. And they stuffed it in with under three to go to make it tied 3-3. Hall, his first of the playoffs. And he's been scoring in droves for the Bruins since he came to Boston. And a gigantic goal to tie this thing with 2 minutes left. It's 3-3 after Hathaway gave him the lead at 7:04 of the third. The Capitals had the lead. They should have won this game. They had it in the bag. Anderson would have stole a huge win tonight. He played solid. Bruins had a million chances in this game. Both teams have shot like crazy. I don't even know. Like, it's literally 44-39 in shots, Boston. 44 shots, bro. And they got three of them in. I mean, they have peppered this guy all night. I can't believe he stood on his head like this. They should have scored 5 or 6 goals in this game. You've watched it. I watched it. I mean, Boston, I can't believe they only had 2 goals till that Hall goal.
Yeah, I've been stunned with how well Anderson has played. When I saw him come in on Saturday night, I figured this is going to be a bad situation for the Caps, and here he is now in game 2, still playing really well. He just made a huge save on a 2-on-1 right after he gave up that third goal. They're getting, but I don't expect it to last. I still think the Bruins, and think about the psyche for this, Scotty. They can't lose both of these games with Craig Anderson in goal. They just can't. They have to win this game tonight. I don't care if they're going home. I don't care if they're going home after this or whatever. Who cares? You got to beat Craig Anderson at least once out of these two games he's played.
You got to. I mean, there is just no getting around it. If they lose this game, I know they say no series is started until both teams play two home games, right? But, you know, you go down 2-0 to some 40-year-old. He's turning 40 Friday. So, you know, you lose 2 to a 40-year-old goalie. I mean, honestly, you're finished. I don't even care where they play the games. I mean, you lose 2 to this guy. Do you really think they win 4 or 5? I mean, honestly.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think that they'll beat the Capitals 4 out of 5 if they lose this game tonight.
But I have to tell you, despite the fact, and by the way, Carolina has the lead 3-2.
Let's go.
Early in the third, they have scored. And so here's the deal. At least I want to give you this goal so that you can feel good about yourself. It was Niederreiter, 2:26 in from Trocheck and Nikas. Is that his name? Anyway, so here's the deal. The game was 3-2 Capitals on the Hathaway goal, right? And I have to tell you, despite the fact that Boston had the 44 shots and some great scoring chances, and, I mean, Anderson came up big and made some saves, whatever. But I truly believe, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that for my money, I thought the Capitals kind of controlled the game and can a breakaway. Aho! Aho, what a save! Chance to go up a pair.
Well, we need him to. We got him on the puck line tonight.
What's this guy's name, the goalie for Nashville? Sosa?
Soros. Yuri Soros.
Sosa? Hey, let me tell you something, man. My guy Sosa, he'll stop everything, man. Including Aho on a breakaway. So anyway, 3-2. Carolina leads early in the third in Raleigh. Great game. So my point being is that I thought that going back to the Capital game, I thought they had the best control, passing, shooting, hitting. That Wilson hit on whoever, he flung someone through the air into the bench. I mean, literally lifted a guy off his skates and into the bench area. He flew right off the ice. I thought they out-hit him. I thought they out-skated them. I thought they had better play through the neutral zone, better control of the puck and the game. I thought they had it for the most part, the majority of the game. The Capitals had the biscuit on their tape. And I thought Boston was chasing them around all night. Am I wrong?
No, Capitals dominated a very large portion of the play in this game. It goes back to why the Bruins lost game one. They're not getting enough from their top skill guys, in my opinion. Like, they're just not getting control of the play when Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak are on the ice. And the Capitals are doing a good job. Now, Pastrnak's gotten his goals, but, you know, they just haven't done a good job of dominating the play. Capitals have been all over them.
Why did Pastrnak score in that first game?
He didn't score in the first. He basically scored the goal. The one guy tipped it in on him, Richie. But Pastrnak did the work on a power play goal on Saturday night. That's why I keep thinking of Pastrnak scoring, because I hit him for a power play point at +225. So that's why I keep going back to it.
Oh. DeBrusque had one the other night, and he got one tonight, too, the first goal of the game. And then Oshie on the power play on a redirector went top shelf. And then Bergeron gave him a 2-1 lead, the Bees. Then Hathaway tied it up. Hathaway gave him the lead in the third. So, I mean, you're up 1-0 and 2-1. You got to win the game. And then instead, the next thing you know, you're down 3-2. I mean, that was like Pittsburgh. Although they were down 1-0, tied it, then took a lead, then gave it up, and then went down again 3-2.
Yeah.
So
for the Bruins, to me, right now through six periods of this series, they kind of look like the Bruins we saw through the first 2/3 of the season. You know, they kind of look like that team, not the team that we saw coming down the stretch. They look more like the team that did not play well for the first 2.5 months.
How about your boy, the Golden Muzzy?
Yes. On the bench tonight, next segment.
Wow.
Well, it's playoff time. And that's when you, when the playoffs come, you have to, you know, you up the ante with a little bit more Muzzy. You know, you just have to, because it's playoff time. We got to be in the mix with him.
There you go. Boy, what a lucky goal, Boston, that Hall got his stick on that loose puck. There must have been seven guys laying on that scrum, laying on that pile. But that puck was loose the whole time. That was a legit goal, without a doubt. Oh, so now they go to overtime. That's why they're in a commercial. They're going to overtime in D.C. So now I can settle in on this Predators-Canes with 13 minutes left. And then the Indiana Marshall National Championship game is all evolving rapidly. I can't even believe what I've watched tonight. At the beginning of the night, I was like, God, there's nothing on. There's no NBA. Next thing I know, I'm watching the Capitals game. And then I'm like, oh, my God, look, there's Nashville and Carolina. And then I'm like, oh, all right, we got a little soccer national championship to throw in. It's ended up being a very ideal evening of action. Very ideal. So unbelievable, this game. No score at the half in the soccer game. And it's not every day you see me getting all fired up about a soccer game. I like soccer. I like the Premier League, but I can only take so much of it, to be honest. A lot of those games are boring as hell. You can't even deny it. Watching some 0-0 soccer game on a Saturday at noon, I want to jump. Seriously, you can't even question it. The Golden Muzzy is next. Waxing up on the mahogany. All right, Frill on the bench. Jordan Staal scores his second goal of the game, and now Carolina pounding it in 4-2 on the Preds in Raleigh in front of 13,000 drunk fans sounding like 20. And it's all evolving rapidly for Carolina with a 2-goal lead in the third with about 11 minutes left. The Golden Muzzy has joined us from Toronto in a huge effort right here into the playoffs. How you doing, Muzzy?
Scotty Farrell, what to do? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, brother. I hope you're well. I want to ask you, first of all, about the other game, because I got to see a look at Staal hitting people, too. He's laying hits out, scoring goals. There's his second. Oh, in front. Oh, my God. From the slot. Jordan Staal. He misses playing in Pittsburgh. Liar. Anyway, so let's go to the other game. Carver High and I have been on this old guy, Anderson, the geezer, playing in goal. And we're like, Friday he turns like 75. And somehow this guy is standing on his head, not only Saturday or whatever it was, Friday, whatever the hell it was. And now, when was that game? I can't even keep track. It was Saturday. So anyway, Saturday was that. Sunday was the Penguins losing to the Islanders. And now, what day is today? Monday. So there you go. He played the other night, came into the game, won the game. And then tonight, I mean, I didn't even think Muzzy had to work that hard. I thought that the Capitals had the best chances, the best possession of the puck. I thought Boston had some chances, but he saved most of them. And then when they got up 3-2, they should have won the game. They blew it. Luckily, Hall got the goal in for Boston and made a game of it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in overtime, but I'm right there with you. I think through two games, the Capitals have been the better team, and it is just, in a nutshell, I would say the Stanley Cup playoffs, where it's like expect the unexpected. The fact that Craig Anderson plays, four games or four appearances this past season for the Washington Capitals, an afterthought. Vanacek's banged up, Samsonov on the COVID list, maybe expected back next game, but you got to ride the hot hand right now, and they throw the veteran Anderson in there, and it's just been a remarkable story, although on the three, goals that have beat him tonight, he hasn't looked great. The last one being a goal mouth scramble to Taylor Hall, I get it, that's a tough one to stop, and the beat goes on. It really, really is tremendous, but it pretty much is par for the course this time of year in the NHL, isn't it?
Were you surprised? Because Carver High and I were on the fact that there must have been it was like an orgy on that ice in front of him. There were so many bodies laying there that I can't believe that that slippery disc stayed loose enough for him to get his stick on it and shove it in. But it was definitely legit. But there was a lot of bodies. It was like it was all evolving on the ice. They were all on the ice. Nobody was on their skates. They were all laying down. Somehow that puck squeezed out and Hall stuffed it in. What do you think of Hall since he's come to Boston? Boy, has that ignited him.
Oh, big time. And, I was just going to tweet out before he scored that goal that the last 10 minutes there, the third period, I thought he was excellent. I think in general, following that trade, he was uplifted. I think certainly a reason, Scotty, I took Boston in this series, it was because of the newfound depth on that second line with David Krejci and Craig Smith. And, of course, the aforementioned Taylor Hall to complement perfectly with the perfection line, I thought was a perfect thing. And especially when you look at this series, from that perspective, for the Capitals, even without Kuznetsov, I think Anthony Mantha's looked pretty good. They got some weapons who can beat you. So it's important, I think, going forward that Boston's second line gets going. That's a start. We'll see if they can pull it out here again. The Capitals have been the better team, and I think Boston's in trouble, clearly, if they lose this game. I know they always say, until you lose a game on home ice, you're okay. But I think if the Capitals grab this one tonight, Boston's in trouble, so they better win.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And so just an update, Carver High. Indiana just had a free kick from at the box after their star player got shoved down, and they kicked it in. The goalie made the save, and it was loose in front, and an Indiana player swept in to stuff it in, and he shot it wide. And his girlfriend is now sleeping with his best friend because he just missed the national championship game-winning goal. He shot it wide. Like, oh, my God, Ronaldo would have stuffed it in four times on the same kick. But this kid shanked it. He shanked it wide. Your girlfriend sleeping with your best friend, you loser. How do you miss that? How do you miss that goal? Oh, my God.
Wait, Scotty, let me.
I hate you forever.
You guys are on talking terms right now, even though it's Pittsburgh and the Islanders in the first round. Here we go again.
Listen, I'm so used to the Islanders beating the Penguins in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't even care anymore. I mean, that series is already over. I mean, it's literally over. Oh, it's done. Speaking of orgies, they're having one on the Penguins' wives. They're like, every one of the Penguins players, girlfriends, and wives have slept with the entire Islander staff, front office, water boy, coaches, the bus driver, the pilot, I mean, the chef, the dishwasher. I mean, they've slept with every one of them. I mean, my God, the Penguins couldn't beat the Islanders if they showed up for the game with no skates and sticks. I mean,
hey,
they can't beat them.
I got an idea for you, Scott. I got an idea for you. How about
you
find a goalie? Well, that too, but find a goalie, I would think, too. Tristan Jarry was awful yesterday, with all due respect to the Islanders, of course, right? That's the most important thing to know.
I guess. I don't even want to talk about that yet. I still want to talk about the game. I still want to talk first about this game. All right, so I agree with you about the Capitals have been the better team. I said to Carver High tonight that they seem to be, like, in possession more, the best passes, the best puck movement, the best cycling, the best behind the net, through the neutral zone. They've had the puck. And it's like all I've watched is Boston chase them around. And then I've seen Marchand try to behead someone with his stick. I mean, they've done nothing, so you might as well start cutting people's heads off with the, you know, your sharp razor blade stick, because he can't beat anybody up, so he has to shank somebody with his stick, which I also admire. If you're a little fella and you can't beat anybody up, you can still become an axe murderer. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a weapon right there. He's pretty good with it.
You're in mid-season form tonight, my man. A couple things to note on this one is the lack of depth on Boston's back end. So Jeremy Lauzon goes out last game. Kevin Miller tonight. Should note as well, Lars Eller of the Capitals leaving tonight, not returning. But certainly this time here, the minutes become more taxing. And I think as this game goes on, Scotty, in overtime, as we start here between the Bruins, oh, it's over. Just like that. And guess who scores the goal, Scott?
Who scored the goal, Hall?
I think it's Nick Ritchie. It happened quickly. I don't have the Atlanta Thrashers background like you do.
Oh, Carver Hyde just went to get a cold beer and missed it. Here it is from the point. From the circle.
It's Marshawn.
You know why he couldn't get? You know why he couldn't make that save? Because he couldn't get in his wheelchair fast enough. Oh, Morrell with the line of the night so far.
Scotty's on fire.
Oh, he couldn't get in his wheelchair from his bed. He reminds me of my granny. She needs her walker. Oh, with the facial. Marchand with the winner. The dirty guy.
Your guy.
The axe. The killer. We were just talking about that guy. Not only can he cut your throat, he can beat you on a one-timer from the circle in overtime. I got to tell you, though, Muzzy, that sucks, because I wanted to watch like a nice, long, maybe double overtime. That thing was over in 5 seconds.
I was just going to say, like, that's just what I was saying about the Bruins and the back end, right? Miller, Lauzon, and, you know, some of the guys playing, you know, above their head in terms of minutes. You have to end that game quickly. And what a momentum change, Scotty. Taylor Hall scored that goal late in regulation. You score early, and next thing you know, it was about to be 2-0 Capitals. Now it's 1-1 as the Bruins head home for game 3 and 4. So that's a big-time momentum shift in this series.
So you're telling me that the Capitals are going to get their goalie back for game 3? They're getting their regular goalie back?
Ilya Samsonov. So they have 3 guys right now. Vitek Vanacek's banged up. Samsonov was on the COVID list for the second time this season. And I think considering the result, you would go to Samsonov for the next game, though.
No? Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, like, after I just saw your boy Neil Walker. Carver Hyde, did you like that? That's two for two. I'm going for a full gap shot tonight. It's into the corner. And he's retired, too. He's got nothing but time on his hands. Neil Walker, your boy Anderson, couldn't get in his wheelchair, and then he had to couldn't grab his walker. Anyway, that's huge for the Bruins, that win, because you lose, you go down 2, it's lights out. I don't care what anybody says about that stupid, you don't play a series until you play your 2 games at home. No, if you lose to that old geezer twice in D.C., you are done. You might as well go over and talk to some of those lame-ass politicians at Capitol Hill, all those liars. Anyway, so this goalie for Indiana, I don't care what his name is. Let's just call him I Don't Care What His Name Is. So anyway, I Don't Care What His Name Is has made 4 fingertip saves. Like, I mean, World Cup saves. Like, I mean, they were so unbelievable that I stretched my package like 3 times. And I had at least 1 groin tear watching this kid make saves tonight. Like, diving saves. And he's kept them in the game. They should be losing 3-0. But it's 0-0 in the second half with 33 minutes left. And it is the greatest national championship game. By the way, in the other game, when Santa Clara beat Florida State, the chicks, they went to penalty kicks, and the first two Seminole chicks that went up booted it wide. Go Canes! You lose! You lose! Shoot it wide! And your girlfriend! You lose! Little Santa Clara beat you. I got to give the credit to the Thundering Herd fans. They're completely hammered at this game and shirtless. Like, the entire student body's naked with, and they just beers. No beer allowed in the stadium. Meanwhile, they snuck them in. They got like 1,000. Everyone in the crowd has a beer. It says no alcohol at the game. Everybody's getting hammered. All right. We're talking to the Muzzy legend. From 590 in Toronto, badass. We always love talking with the Muzzy. So anyway, Boston wins it. Now you got a series. And then you know that Carolina's kicking Nashville's ass tonight. That was, I got to tell you, I think that Nashville goalie, I like to call him Sosa. He had a, I thought the kid played great in goal. He gave up a couple because they were great goals by Stahl, but he's been hot lately, but now they're going to lose that game. And they can't afford, I think, against a team that good, Muzzy, to go down two. If they win game two and they're up two, they're going to be hard to beat.
No, you're right. You know, I think it's important to add, too, with that series is, you know, the crowd, right? As we talked about earlier, Bridgestone Arena, one of the hardest buildings to play in, I think, as an opposition in the National Hockey League. So don't underestimate what Bridgestone Arena can bring, you know, to this series. But I think Carolina, like, the one thing you have to do as a top seed is take care of home ice, and they have tonight. I thought it was obviously a decent start for the Nashville Predators in this game, but the Canes, so to speak, weathered the storm in this hockey game. And you need your vets this time of year. Like, Jordan Staal has had an excellent resurgence season. The captain of the Canes, I think, has been really, really good, especially when you look at guys like Teuvo Teravainen, who's missed a big chunk of the season. You need guys to step up, and I think Jordan Staal has been a great story this season. Of course, you know him from his days with the Pittsburgh Penguins and all the success he had there. But the Canes are a well-coached hockey team. And I don't know about you. I actually had them going all the way to my Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, they're impressive. Fair enough. I don't know if I'm feeling that yet. I got to see more because I haven't watched them play during the Hanta. You know what I mean? Like, how you're like locked down in Canada. You can't even go out for a beer. You know, we're not watching Carolina, you know, games over here in New York City. I've been watching, you know, as many games as I can, but I haven't caught them, right? So this is fresh for me to see how good they are right now lately, you know, like in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So for me, tonight was the first. They looked really good to me. Very high speed, the way they passed the puck on their power play, yeah, snapping it around the ice. I mean, you move it that quick, you're bound to get some good chances. Aho cutting like a basketball player in front of the net. He's going backdoor. I love his moves into the, you know, slot and into the crease. He's a dangerous player. But I'll see if I'm buying them going all the way to the finals. Let's talk about Sunday. I thought after the Crosby goal, they go up 2-1. I thought the key to the game for me, I'm pretty simple guy, as you know, with a big mouth. I thought the turnovers in their own end were just absolutely their death. I thought the Pageau, you know, equalizer, top shelf. You're right, Jari, terrible. He looked like someone, you know, stole his car when he came out of the bar and the car was gone with that crappy goal he gave up. But again, a turnover. And then I thought the overtime winner, same thing. Palmieri, to me, was a turnover. And I thought the Penguins in their own end were atrocious with the puck, absolutely atrocious everywhere, but beneath the goal, in the corners, coming out from behind the net, moving up ice. All they did was turn the puck over the whole game. I mean, my language was so bad watching the game that literally neighbors called the police on me.
That's just in a nutshell the Islanders system, right? Like, that's what they do. They pounce on your mistakes and they force you to make mistakes. So I give them a lot of credit. I mean, you want to talk about concerns with injuries. Semyon Varlamov not playing. Ilya Sorokin, the rookie, here in his rookie campaign, plays in the first game of the playoffs. I thought he was good. You know, no captain Anders Lee. You need guys to step up this time of year. Kyle Palmieri, who had struggled to find it offensively since being dealt over from New Jersey, scores 2 goals in that game. And they always say it, the old adage, put the puck on net, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm right there with you. As we started the interview, Jari was not good, but I can't fault the New York Islanders. They just always seem to come and play. Everything's against them all the time, and they find a way to get the job done. So that's the best I'll say on the Islanders here, Carver.
So we're on the Islanders on, like, I don't know when it was, Friday. We were doing the show or something on Coast to Coast on the TV side, or maybe the radio side. I don't even remember. I asked Carver High about Zajac and Palmieri, and he basically said they were both bums, and they were out of there. And they're like, they've done nothing with the Islanders. They're worthless. And then and then he'll deny it all. Don't believe him.
I will
believe
tell you
me.
Word for word
trust,
what I said.
Trust me.
I'll tell you
word for word.
What I
he's
said.
Like, he said if he doesn't do anything in the playoffs, he's got a second chance in the playoffs to do something because he's been worthless.
He's
and then
awful.
Sure enough, the guy scores two goals for him. And now, you know, Carver High's, now he's his best friend. Now he's his best, greatest player ever. Sign him to a lucrative extension. Get rid of Zajac. He's a hack. And then, you know. So just so you know, that's what he said. So let's talk about the other game. The Wild winning against Vegas in overtime was better than sex. I think that if they – I mean, honestly, they are the only team, it would appear to me, in the NHL that can beat the Vegas Knights are the Minnesota Wild. They seem to have their number. I mean, they're their kryptonite.
You must be having some bad sex. That's all I can say. But, yeah, that's
never.
It's a great story. never, yeah, that's it, never. You know, the big thing for me for Vegas, and I'll preface by saying I had a Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup. I think Max Pacioretty is so integral to that team. And, of course, he didn't play in game one. I thought the goaltending was outstanding from both sides. Cam Talbot and Marc-Andre Fleury went toe-to-toe in that matchup. But, you know, the undoing for Vegas in the bubble, Scotty, they couldn't find the offense, which is crazy to think, considering what they have in that top six. You add in Alex Tuck as well. You don't ever think that would be an issue, and it hasn't been an issue for that team for the most part in the first 4 years in the league. So they got to find it within them. But I certainly think you're on to something. The way Minnesota's playing, rallying around Kaprizov. I thought Matt Zuccarello, the vet, was good in game one. The back end guys like, you know, Spurgeon, you know, and Suter. You know, it's important that those guys really elevate their game, and so far they have, but I just don't know how long they can keep Vegas down. I like to still side with Vegas in that series, but I can certainly see Minnesota giving them a run for their money because that's been a great story for a long time now, Scott.
So if they, the Golden Muzzy, what is legend? If you have Pittsburgh and Vegas both have to win tomorrow night, or they might as well, honestly, just, I think go to Cabo San Lucas and go golfing, literally, because there's like 20 or 30 great golf courses down there. And you could, like, right now, I think, you know, right now is ideal for, like, golfing in the morning down in Cabo. Lay at the beach all day, get loaded, you know, meet chicks, hot chicks in bikinis, things like this. If they don't win, both of them tomorrow, I'm hot chick seeking golf, big ball hitting, Pharrell style, drinking Mai Tais on the beach, getting laid. I mean, because it's over. If they both don't win tomorrow, it's over.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, especially we just talked about, and knowing the fact that your beloved Penguins have to go to a very difficult building to win in without a full crowd or not in the Coliseum. So you're bang on when it comes to Pittsburgh. And certainly, I think with Vegas, you lose home ice advantage, you're in trouble. So I'm right there with you, but I expect a bounce back on both fronts. Important to note, too, with your Pens, of getting Malkin as a game-time decision. Again, I'm not making any excuses. The Islanders found a way. They always seem to do that. Everybody seems to discredit them, and they always find a way to get the job done. So I wouldn't be shocked the Islanders go again and win that game, but I expect a bit of a bounce back from Pittsburgh. They need better goaltending, goes without saying, and I think Vegas finds a way to win in game two here.
So they should have traded Malkin. They've been talking about, you know, there's been rumors of it for the last couple of years. And now, as far as I'm concerned, now you can't even trade him. Like, now everybody knows he's got starting to have bad wheels. And he's not, I mean, he missed the whole season. So, and then he came back and now he's out again. You know what he should do? He should become lovers with Giancarlo Stanton. The two of them have all kinds of time on their hands. They could end up being lovers. Honestly,
where do you get these takes from? Like, you pull them out of a drawer somewhere?
No, I just can feel it coming. I know that, like, that I'm right. I mean, the guy's finished, and the other one never plays either. They could spend a lot of quality time together. You know, Gino, he might like New York, and Giancarlo could be his, like, tour guide, the whole deal. Anyway,
I was just going to add, like, I disagree with you on Malkin. I think if Pittsburgh throws his name on the trade market, I think teams line up. I get he's 34, but just look at this year, how many guys, 36, 37, 38, found their game. You know, I'm right there with you. Like, he does get hurt quite a bit, but you obviously want him getting Malkin in your lineup, and if you have to deal him, you have to deal him. But I just don't see it. I think they owe it to him, and I think he finds a way to come back and have an impact in this series, Scott. I know you're a defeatist through one game, but that's the way I feel.
Defeatist. Listen, you know what I am? I'm the cop that already knows who committed the murder. I mean, they haven't won a game against the Islanders in my entire life in the postseason. I mean, I'm going back to Billy Smith. Don't start with me about what I know. I mean, defeatist. Yeah, Christ almighty, I've been bent over and lubed up with KY my entire life by the Islanders. Honestly, I've been like, it's like a scene.
You took it a couple
Rikers.
Years ago, too, right?
You know,
you took it a couple years ago in that sweep.
Rectal Rikers 1 and 2, both movies hits. I mean, I'm just doomed rooting for the Penguins against the Islanders. Doomed. The Lightning, what'd you think of their late goal? I got 45 seconds. That was a great game. Yeah. I think you got a series there.
There's people saying, Scott, already that could be one of the best games ever. I think it's a bit much, a bit rich for my liking, but I think it's the first official game back from a pandemic. We're on the other side now. I think it's safe in saying that, especially in the States. And that game had it all, hits, goals, saves. Never count out the defending champion, as you know. You look at Tampa, Braden Point scores that goal. Nikita Kucherov makes his season debut, scores 2, adds an assist. Hedman, 3 assists. They're very difficult to beat, and now, as you know, Sam Bennett gets suspended today. So as quickly as Florida had maybe game one, I think they're up against it already here.
Yeah, and then I still think a better game was Boston's comeback against Toronto from like 7 goals down, whatever the hell it was. That was better. That's off the top of my head right there. You know what I mean, honestly. So have that
for
dinner.
Comment.
Late night dinner there for you.
No.
Little hors d'oeuvre, late night.
Dessert.
Muzzy, I love you. Great stuff. We'll get John again in the playoffs. I love you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Take care.
The Golden Muzzy, iconic on the bench. So I guess Landeskog and Shen had a huge fight in the first period of this game. We missed it because it wasn't on yet because we were watching the overtime Caps Bruins. Marchand with the winner for the Bruins at the very beginning of... They threw heavy hands. So, but the Bruins won in overtime. And then the other game is like what? It's all Carolina. Is that game over yet?
It's all over. 5-2. They got an empty netter, so we got the puck line.
Empty netter. 5-2. There you go. So, so you hit the puck line too. Was it 2.5?
No, 1.5.
It was 1.5.
Yeah.
All right. I was gonna say that's crazy. I'll take 2.5 every night. Meanwhile, they win by 3. So, if it was 2.5, I probably would have taken it. Because the last time I took 2.5, I covered that bet. Remember, it was the Sabres against the Penguins. And the under 4.5 I hit in that game. So anyway, can I just comment? So there's no score in the Colorado game?
No. End of the first, 1-0 Avalanche. Cale Makar with the goal for Colorado.
All right. So 1-0 Avs. All right. So just so I can catch you up, this game that you're finally watching now, and it's hard for you to get into it because you've missed the entire thing. But I can tell you, you see, it's scoreless. There's 16:50 left. And I mean to tell you, this Marshall team, they're like, it's like watching Liverpool play. They've had the ball 95% of the game. They've had the ball. I mean, literally, Indiana hasn't had a single shot the entire second half. Not one shot. Not one shot. In fact, Indiana hasn't had the ball over midfield once the entire second half. Not once. They have played on their heels the entire second half And Marshall is just pounding this goalie with shots. And he's made brilliant saves, one after the next. We got another hour to go. Let's see if the Hoosiers can somehow get lucky here in the national championship game. It's scoreless with Marshall.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.